such good shit.
Two.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, soupies of all ages, welcome back to the Kayfabe Soup Wrestling Podcast. We would have been here much sooner, but our schedule was built by Kenny Omega, and every week for the past couple of weeks, just poof, we try to record, poof. Yeah. Sorry. As you can see, we are down a man today. We just myself, the intern, and Grand Reduza Jr. here. Habes is on assignment, but he may or may not do a run-in later. Hopefully with a steel chair.
Yeah. Hey, how you guys doing? Intern touched on it. We've tried to do a podcast. It's basically on me. I just moved. I basically just moved. But it's been a work in progress, and then I'm working 80 hours plus a week. So for me to find time, it's pretty difficult. But anyways.
Plus there's all of our high-strung addictions to coke and whores that always get in the way anyway.
Yep, like in true wrestling fashion. But also in true wrestling fashion, I will be that type of fan that doesn't watch the product but it's going to talk shit. And I'm ready for it.
For me, that's main roster WWE in general.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know. But then there's
I haven't watched a Raw or SmackDown in so long. You could talk about it most weeks if called upon.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just going like this. Fuck you. Yeah. But yeah, we've got some big news. If you're wondering why Andrade hasn't been on TV, well, that question didn't get answered. But going forward, we know why he won't be on WWE TV. He has asked for and finally gotten his release.
Yeah, he asked for his release last week, and it happened yesterday. I don't know if it was during the pay-per-view, before the pay-per-view, or after. But
I only started hearing about it after the pay-per-view, but that's just me.
Because I know during the pay-per-view, he put something on Twitter of like good news, and then he put hashtag tranquilo. And that just got everybody speculating about what was going on. A lot of people were talking about Charlotte being pregnant, or Andrade got released, right? And then late last night, he got released, and everybody's super happy about him finally getting out. He was vocal about not being happy in WWE. Yeah,
for some reason, he wanted to do more than sit around not do anything since fucking October.
Yeah, yeah. So we have to wait 3 months. Somebody said that's June 19th. That is his 90 days. So that's the day we're going for. And honestly, it's great. You know, like it was one of those where the fans know the talent that he is. And he was just being wasted away, just like Aleister Black. You know, he's going to be the next one that's gone. Seriously.
Assuming Vince doesn't want to just keep him around and keep him around and not do anything with him to punish him for his wife having the nerve to do third party stuff.
Yeah, it's like right now it's like the Selena Vega triangle, you know. Both guys that she was, well, one she's the manager on screen, and she's married to Black, and both of them were pretty much hanging out in the back, you know? Like you said, they were on catering.
Did Vince think she was married to Andrade or something too?
Probably.
All I know is I can't wait for Andrade to go to AEW and be like, I don't know, Kip Sabian's fucking chauffeur or something, because that company has no idea what they're doing sometimes.
Okay, so I am one of the people that believe he's not going to AEW.
Oh, same.
I think he's going to do Ring of Honor New Japan.
Yep, especially with Dragon Lee and Roosh.
Yes, I think we're seeing it a lot with the brands or with the companies of a lot of like inter-promotional matches.
Oh yeah.
And I think
the Impact World Tag Team Champions are over in Japan because they're New Japan guys.
Dude, it's so good. Like, so a lot of people keep talking, and we're going off subject already, but like a lot of people are talking shit on Impact. I think Impact's doing the best thing they can, you know? Like,
definitely.
Like, they have Swan going against Kenny. This is where Kenny gets the title, obviously, right?
Oh, you gotta think so, but
like I don't think they're gonna put, like, unless it's like super shenanigans, I don't think they're gonna put Swan over Kenny clean.
No, definitely not. I mean, honestly, I was kind of sad that Swan didn't go over, or that Swan went over Mooks clean, let alone Kenny. But that's just me.
Yeah. Actually, did you see that match? I didn't.
I liked it.
I didn't hate the finish either.
No,
like,
me either.
I felt it went like one move too far. Like when Moose hit the corners pretty hard, I felt like that's where,
yeah,
Swan should have did his big maneuver, and then with the 1-2-3, it didn't have to go an extra pin. But it was a good match. I liked it. Yeah. I think that was the last thing I watched.
And it led. Oh man, you missed a great segment of the next weekly at Impact TV where Rich Swan cut one hell of a great. That wasn't his goofy promo style. It was more of a fired up baby face. And then Don Callis came out and cut him off at the knees with one of the best fucking heel promos you'll ever hear.
Okay, I haven't seen any of it. Like I said, I not watched anything wrestling.
New Japan. You should look that up online.
I'll definitely will when I now that I'm getting back into, now that everything's settled in, I should get back into at least watching New Japan to start. But yeah, going back to Andrade, I feel like he's gonna end up in Ring of Honor, and that's gonna throw Ring of Honor into the mix that they're pretty much missing out on. You know, like, you have AEW, you have Impact, you have New Japan, NWA, and they're all playing nice with each other, yeah. Right? Hell, I think there's MLW wrestlers are in that too.
I think so, yeah.
I think they share wrestlers with certain, like, with some of this company, like,
yeah, because there wasn't at least one or two MLW guys in the either the Best of Super J or Super Junior Cup.
Yeah. So like that's like a great cluster to be in, and Ring of Honor has been watching from the sidelines. Holy hell. Has been watching from the sidelines, and I'm hoping that Andrade coming in has enough power to like bring him into this, because there's pretty much three responses to Andrade being released. It's the people that don't care, the people that know, holy crap, this is huge for whoever grabs him, and the people that are talking shit on WWE for letting him go and wasting him.
I'm in both 2 and 3.
Yeah, exactly. Most people are, you know, but then there are like people on the page, dude, like the comments, they're so toxic. And like,
well, he don't talk no good English like me and y'all does.
Exactly.
I swear to God, I literally heard that on a call when I was at work one time years ago.
Oh man, I couldn't do what you do, man. I couldn't.
I don't know how I do it, but that's a whole other
story. That's a different thing.
Now,
right?
You know how I had the patience to put up with SmackDown for as long as I did, though.
Dude, that makes sense. That makes sense. Because I remember, like, we used to be like, how does he do this? Why? And then when we were like, do Impact. You'll be a lot happier.
Yeah. And I was.
Yeah, man. But yeah, anyway, Andrade, 90 days, June 19th.
Yep. In the meantime, we also got some news about his fiance. Interesting that Charlotte Flair has pulled off the WrestleMania card. Now, they did come out today that she's apparently recovering from COVID. Not only was she allowed to announce this on social media, they had Rhea Ripley referencing it on Raw, which that's unheard of. But then at the same time, WrestleMania is not for 3 weeks. They anticipate that it's going to take her 3 weeks to recover from COVID, or is there something else going on here, cough, Andrade things?
Yeah, so she got pulled off the WrestleMania ad, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much same picture, but just her just taking off. They got her, whatever. And the speculation, first one was she threw a fit, for Andrade to get released, right? Yeah. And at that point, who are you to tell Charlotte no, right? Who are you to tell Flair no? I don't even think Vince could, like, say no without getting backlash to Flair.
Pretty much. You know?
Like, he's too, that name is too big, whether it's Charlotte or Rick. So that was the first thing. And then I read people say that she might be pregnant. Also makes sense.
Yeah.
And then people are saying this is the reason because of COVID. But like you said, WrestleMania is not for another couple weeks out. If she, like, if she's been off TV for a while or for a bit, she should have enough time to recover.
Agreed. I have a friend of mine in Texas unfortunately got COVID, and I think she was only down for about a week, and she's not an athlete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My son caught COVID in December. I have a friend and his wife and their, like, 3-year-old son, they all caught COVID, and they weren't down for that long.
Yeah, AJ Styles said it was just kind of like a cold.
Jesus.
Of course, he also said that the earth might be flat, but, you know.
I mean, you don't have to like him personally to enjoy his wrestling.
Exactly. I can enjoy his wrestling and make fun of him for his personal beliefs.
For real, yeah. Yeah, so that's Andrade and Charlotte Flair.
Yep. So there we go. One possibly gone to Ring of Honor, the other one possibly going to the Maternity Ward, maybe? We'll have to see what Meltzer says and then believe the opposite.
Yeah, I haven't checked. He hasn't came out with anything, right?
No, pretty much. I'm surprised he hasn't written an article just explaining that he doesn't have an article right about it because he has no news. I've seen him and other dirt sheet sites do that, and it's just like, why did you even write this?
Yeah, exactly.
So we had a WWE pay-per-view last night, Fastlane, which GRJ hasn't watched. I wish I didn't watch most of it. So I'm not going to talk about the whole thing. I just want to kind of go over the broad strokes of it for those of you who were lucky enough not to watch it. We had a pre-show match after the US title. Riddle successfully defended against Mustafa Ali. Big takeaway from that afterward is that they seem to have broken Retribution up.
Yeah, I saw that. And that was on the pre-show, right?
Yeah.
Like, they... I remember this from the beginning part, right? It people made fun of it because of the names, but it was pretty cool. And then Mustafa Ali came out as leader, and then it was just a complete shit show. People are comparing it to the Core.
Oh, pretty much.
People are comparing it to the Core.
I mean, basically, the whole thing was like, it's like they wanted to tease the story of Ali getting pissy with them. So what do? They just have Retribution members lose every single match ever.
Mm-hmm. This is just writers or Vince just getting bored of the storyline, or not even knowing where the storyline was going from the very beginning.
I'm pretty sure that the furthest he got was, let's make a group called Retribution. They'll be Antifa. Right?
Yeah, no. Pretty bad handling of the group there.
Yep. And on the card proper, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defended the women's tag team titles against Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks because the babyfaces are idiots. Basically, Sasha watched Nia push Bianca into her. And then still blamed Bianca and yelled at her, and then their bickering caused led to a distraction roll-up, I think.
Was this match as awkward as their one at...
Yes.
What was the pre-review that I last watched? Was it the Rumble? Or was there one after?
Was it Elimination Chamber afterwards?
Yes, I did watch that one. Okay, so it was that one. So was it as awkward as that?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, you have Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, even though I talk a crap load of crap on her, like, she's still very talented. you have the other two girls, and it's just awkwardness on top of awkwardness.
On top of that, here's the other thing I don't get. We're building to the obvious because she accepted a match between Bianca and Banks at WrestleMania. They did the same tag team match last month. Why wasn't that the match to create heat between them to make a more personal feud going into Mania? Could they not sustain this feud for another 3 weeks of television?
Well, wasn't that when Belair was all like, where she brought it up, if they won, she kind of like teased it, like if they won the titles, she won't go after Sasha, but if they lost, like yeah, she's open like that, yeah. Shot, like yeah, that was the perfect start to it, you know?
Yeah,
like you didn't really have to continue the feud for another. You didn't have to continue the buddy buddy thing for another couple weeks, just yeah. For them to lose and then start the feud now. It's I don't get it. Like the storyline is the story writer the. The timeline of these stories are so horrible. Like, it's like they give up and then they remember, like, shit, we have nothing else. Let's go back to it.
Speaking of which, that ties into our next match, which if they decide to extend, which I know they're going to extend this because of the post-match shenanigans. So for the past several weeks or past couple of months leading up to Apollo Crews' heel turn, Big E is just beating him left and right. I think three times before Fastlane, Apollo Crews turns heel. Becomes the racist version of himself, wrestles Big E last night, and Big E wins again clean. It's just what a stupid finish, too. Cruz went for a roll up, but then Big E reversed that roll up into another roll up.
Yeah.
The referee almost counted, or they screwed up the count. The announcers didn't know who won because it looked like Cruz had won. And
so I think the way I saw it, is Cruz had the 1-2, the ref stopped. Big E had to reverse it, didn't get the full reverse.
Yep.
But that was the finish, and it wasn't the ref's fault. I saw a lot of people blaming the ref. It's not the ref's fault. If anything, it falls on Big E. It falls on both guys because both guys are fucking huge as hell, right? And they probably
the only it was just I, off. The only thing I say is the ref's fault is it's the ref's job is not to stop counting for the planned finish. The ref's job is to count that pin. Even if that makes Apollo Crews Intercontinental Champion.
But he was the one with the shoulders down. Right? Oh no. I'm re-ranting this wrong.
Yeah.
Because we saw Big E trying to like create a bridge and yeah. His shoulders were down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then Apollo Crews attacked Big E after the match. And even though Crews is 0-4 against E, we're supposed to care about the fact that this feud will probably continue.
Yeah, going back to the what's his face, Apollo Crews and his character, his new character. If he came out from this from the beginning, it could work really well with him.
Yeah,
it's just the fact that we knew he wasn't like that beforehand, and then. Out of nowhere, he just throws this accent. It's kind of like,
and he comes out with a fucking spear.
Yeah, like it kind of feel like he went to go visit the homeland, and then he's like, "Oh fuck!" Like I love it, and he just decided to pick it up one day without telling anybody. Like this is a new me.
You know, they probably should have pulled him off TV for a little bit and have him come back and say he visited the homeland and do that turn.
Dude, that would have been great.
Context.
Yeah, like
of course, the last time they did something like that, we had fucking Saba Simba, so maybe not.
I don't know, but I think.
Much as I like Tony Atlas as Saba Simba.
Mm. Yeah.
And then we followed that up with a series of two nothing matches. Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon was a thing that was booked for this card. I don't even know when it was announced. I didn't even know it was supposed to be on the card, but Shane hurt himself practicing, so he got Elias to fill in for him. Braun beat him in like 3 minutes, and no one gave a shit.
Didn't something happen within this match? Oh, no. It was that comment that I uploaded, because I didn't see it. Even the short match, I didn't see it, but somebody said this match should have been an email, and I freaking marked out for that. It was like the best thing ever. Because there's a lot, I feel like that's a lot of these matches where like this could have been covered in an email, you know?
Basically. We followed up with another match that I think must have got announced on the card last minute, as Seth Rollins took on Shinsuke Nakamura, and match that was really good, but it was hard to care about because the match was just a cold match happening for no reason. One of them is kind of a featured player. The other one, Shinsuke Nakamura, who for some reason has turned into the Japanese Cassius Ohno now, where he's just there to put people over.
I mean, I get it. Like, you have to have those type of people. Other companies do it, except for, I guess, AEW, because even the older guys are still...
Not to mention in AEW, they're almost not allowed to have matches that aren't 20-minute competitive matches.
Yeah, but like even in New Japan, they have that old guard that is there to put people over, you know?
Yeah, they just do a better... Because Shin was given that big gauntlet match push, and then Cesaro signed his contract, and they're like, oh, well, we're just going to give Cesaro the push that we were originally going to give him and that we started giving to Nakamura. Sorry, Shin.
But it's crazy because they did that small push for Naka, right? And you saw the excitement. It picked up. It was talked about within the community. And then you're right. They kind of just like, oh, Cesaro resigned. Sorry, Naka. Maybe when your contract is coming back up.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. You know, like they only start treating the wrestlers correctly when the contract's going to run out. And I've said it before, like that's not how this works, especially where these guys that actually love wrestling. It's like, obviously the money is amazing, but like Andrade, he's not happy being in catering. He's not happy being used. He wants to be in that ring, especially when you look on the TV screen and like there's people that don't know how to wrestle taking up time. Like, you're telling me in your 10 plus hours of weekly programming, you can't give this guy 15 minutes?
Yeah, when you don't even get booked on main event, you know there's problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is good. Thankfully, our match up next was the second best match of the night, one of the two only matches worth watching, really. Drew McIntyre taking on Sheamus in a no-holds-barred match, which undercut a bit by the fact that we've seen these guys wrestle several times over the past month. But oh my God, they just... If you like watching two big guys just hitting each other way a little harder than they should be, but still being safe, this is the match. It wasn't quite Ilya Dragunov against Walter level brutal, but probably about the closest we'll get on main roster WWE.
Yeah, all I heard was good things about this match, and that's great because Sheamus is that wrestler where if you get him with the right opponent, they can make it work. And from what I've heard, Drew Mac is that opponent for him.
Yeah,
right now
they've got great chemistry. Sheamus is just like, I'll let you hit me as hard as you want. Drew goes, good, okay, man.
Yeah, they need these type of wrestlers right now, you know, where it's more hard hitting than your typical safe spots.
Yeah,
you know,
and I guess Sheamus followed it up tonight with another hard hitting match with Bobby Lashley on Raw.
All right, I don't know how that would work.
I'm going to have to go to my way to check that one out because Lashley's been awesome lately.
Yeah, he's definitely on the come up. I'm just worried that he's going to get fed to freaking Drew Mac at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
When it shouldn't be. Like, let's say he loses. I guess I could take Bobby as losing, but it has to be a banger of a match. It has to be like Drew Mac is scratching and biting and bleeding on all over to win this match.
Pretty much. Maybe even beating the crap or fighting off all the members of the Hurt Business one at a time. And
yeah, like, it has to be a good finish. It, like, you can't give that a freaking shenanigans finish either, because that's going to hurt both men.
Speaking of shenanigans finish, that brings us to our next match as fucking Alexa Bliss took on Randy Orton in an intergender match. I should say match in quotations because there was no wrestling of any sort happening here. It was just Alexa evading Orton and using her Mama Shango, as I've been calling her, powers to make fire appear and drop.
Yeah, she shoot a Randy. Fireball, right?
But Randy blocked it with his arms. You can block a fireball with your arms. This is real life. Is Street Fighter V, folks.
What was that TV show, that wrestling show on MTV that got canceled because of Imperial Fireball?
Wrestling Society X.
Yeah, that one. That's honestly, every time when I see a fireball, that's the first thing I think of is that program.
Every time I see that AEW exploding ring not explode, I keep thinking of Wrestling Society of X and how they should just CGI'd it up like that show did.
Yeah.
But yeah, but this whole match was just 4 minutes of Gaga bullshit so that Bray Wyatt could show back up looking kind of like Pizza the Hut from Spaceballs with his charred melty version of the Fiend outfit. And then Alexa Bliss pinned Randy Orton by riding his hog cowgirl style.
Yeah, I didn't watch the match. But Reddit uploaded that clip of that three count.
Let's just say this made Eye for an Eye look like fucking Okada Omega.
Jesus.
At least that was a match.
I know, but like, you gotta, like, you're looking at WWE, right? You can't think intergender anything. Even like tag matches.
I knew there was zero chance that anything was going to happen, especially when it's like Randy Orton against this girl that looks like a 12-year-old schoolgirl.
Yeah, honestly, if NXT were to go back on the network, or even, I guess, Peacock, but I guess Peacock wouldn't allow it either. Yeah. But they have Taya coming in, right? This chick is one of the intergender like queens here of wrestling. Yeah.
They also still have Candice LeRae, who is
Candice LeRae, also... exactly. And you have Gargano. Who else was really good in those matches? Aleister Black was really good at those.
Yeah.
They have that roster for those matches, you know, but it's WWE. Don't expect anything from it. Yeah, you know, exactly. Honestly, the only thing I expect out of a tire run in WWE is sooner than later, she's going to be busted open. Like Britt Baker.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I was thinking Stone Cold, but I went Britt Baker on that one. Exactly. That's the only thing I see Taya doing in her new environment of WWE, because they're gonna give the rest of the first to the rest of, to the four horsewomen, right? Yeah. First,
as much as the WWE pushes this women's empowerment, you know, this women's revolution. If you want a good example of how they see women as still being inferior to men in some ways, look at that. There's that, I can't remember which takeover it was, where Candice got up on the ring during that big ladder match. She got up to create a distraction. She got like lightly bumped by a male, and even though she's a trained athlete and a professional wrestler, she had to act like she was a non-wrestling valet, and it murdered her.
Yeah,
that tells you everything you need to know about how advanced and equal the WWE really thinks women are.
I mean, it's I don't feel like it's ever been in question of how they treat them. You could just totally tell. Like, obviously, it's getting better than what it used to be.
Yeah, the lack of bra and panties matches proves
that. I was gonna bring that up. Like the lack of the bra and panties. There's no more pudding matches or whatever pool, and they fill it up with whatever. Like, in that way, it is coming up, but you still see there's a long way, especially from WWE side for them.
They finally see women's wrestlers as athletes, but not as equal athletes to men, basically, which is progress. I mean, Stephanie McMahon did just invent women's wrestling a few years ago.
God bless Steph.
And then we get to our main event, which was a fucking great match between Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, with Edge outside as a special guest referee, or enforcer rather, not referee. And plenty of shenanigans at the end, but it was just, this match was so good. Like, Bryan was just like almost playing with Reigns, picking him apart with actual wrestling. And almost it was almost like he was toying with Reigns, because like he knows like I'm better than you, and then Reigns got finally gets his hands on him and starts, you know, showing you may be better at wrestling than I am, but I am better at strength than you are.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you have to give that match.
Yeah.
That's how.
And then of course we get the predictable ref bump. Edge comes in to start doing his job. We almost get a tap from Rowan, but then Jey Uso comes in, super kicks Edge, beats the shit out of Brian with a chair. Roman looks like he's going to try to finish Brian off, and no, Brian puts him back in the yes lock. Oh no, first that's right. No, Brian. That's, never mind. Brian escapes something. He beats the shit out of Roman and Uso with a chair. Unfortunately, he also accidentally hits Edge with the chair. Then he gets Roman in the yes lock. Roman does like the world's meekest tap out as he's passing out.
I thought that was pretty great.
I loved it. But then Edge gets super pissy and beats the shit out of Brian with a chair. And then we have a ref come in to count the fall for Roman. So I guess Edge, either this is going to be a triple threat match for Mania now, or we're going to have heel versus heel between Edge and Roman.
I'd rather go the triple threat route. Yeah. It feels like it's the safest way if they want to change the champion off Reigns.
Yep.
That's the safest way to do it without him getting pinned, you know?
Exactly.
And without the shenanigans, right? Because it could easily be like he does Superman punch, Edge throws him out, and 1, 2, 3, it's over, right? And it makes sense. Especially when it's a heel doing it to another heel, it makes sense. The one that's going to have the difficult part here is DB playing the face role.
But he's done it before. Remember WrestleMania 30 against Orton and Triple H?
Yeah, but I think this is not that. This is not going to be that type of ending, but we could only hope.
I mean, in a way, I kind of, as much as I would love to see it happen, I kind of hope it's not, because it would look really odd on Brian to be like, hey, I'm on the writing committee now. Also, I'm going to put the title on myself.
I wouldn't give a fuck. I wouldn't. Me personally, I would not. This guy has it, you know? If they're really taking his writing or his ideas for writing seriously, it could work.
Yeah.
It could definitely work.
And I mean, for my money, he's still, if not the best professional wrestler in the company or on the planet even, he's at least top three. Dude still has moves. He has psychology. He has charisma out of the ass. He can pretty much do any kind of spoken, like microphone role you want, whether you want serious villain, serious face, goofy.
Yeah, dude. Like, remember when he did that whole Captain Planet type deal? Like,
oh, that was the best. I've seen people that hate indie wrestlers and hate Daniel Bryan specifically who loved that. I call them idiots still, because how could you hate Daniel Bryan? But
yeah, I don't know, but it's gonna be good. It should be good. How are we feeling if Edge wins this title?
I guess it depends on how long they put it, they keep it on him, and whether he actually shows up for work. Given that his whole story of he was SmackDown champion before he retired and then had to give it up, I actually wouldn't mind seeing Edge get a short run with the title. Short being the operative word.
Yeah, I'd give it maybe two different challengers?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I know they're not big on Cesaro, but to throw him in the main event scene against Edge, it would work.
And I mean, Brian is the one been fighting to elevate Cesaro. In fact, that's, you know, Cesaro was supposed to be, as we mentioned in that elimination match, he was supposed to get the push that Nakamura almost got.
Mm-hmm.
This fucking company.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people that Edge could work with as champ and produce great results while still being safe, you know. Somebody brought up the fact that Edge retired with the neck injury, Brian retired because of the concussions, and then Roman Reigns had leukemia and he had to be out for a bit. And then true. All three of them are freaking gonna pretty much main event WrestleMania. Like, that's insane. I
never even thought that. That is crazy. This, like,
that is insane. Tour. Yeah, that is a total comeback tour. Like, it's crazy, but it's exciting.
Meanwhile, Christian gets to come out and do nothing on AEW TV because they have no idea what to do with him.
I feel so bad for him. They hyped it up. He's not a person that needs to be hyped up. It would have been better. It would have been better if he just showed up and attacked somebody. Or, like, even after the end of an event, or even Dynamite, he just rolls out, his music plays, and he just walk out. You know, it's better a surprise of, like, not knowing anything than, yeah, like, big star, big this, because I'm all, like, I love Christian, but you just debuted Sting not that long ago. You debuted
Paul White,
he got debuted the right way.
Yeah.
He got debuted the right way. That's how Christian should have been debuted, honestly. You know?
It could be worse. At least they didn't bring Christian in as, like, I don't know, Kip Sabian's podiatrist or something. I'm always going to go back now. AEW stupidity is just, let's just take someone and make them something stupid in relation to Kip Sabian like they did to Miro.
I don't know. Like, if they were to give him proper time on, like, backstage shenanigans, I think it'd work because Christian is that comedian type.
Oh yeah,
it could definitely work. I'm not saying that they should do it or they should have done it, but it could have probably worked if they went with that route.
Yeah,
like imagine if, like, Kip Sabian was all like, "I want to learn how to play an instrument," and he's gonna hire a music teacher, and it turns out to be fucking Christian, and he's like, "What do you want to learn?" The kazoo. Yeah, what do you want to learn? He's like, "Oh, guitar." And then Christian's all like, "Oh crap." Like, that could have worked. Awesome.
Yeah.
So Fastlane, right? That was it.
That was Fastlane. Two matches worth watching, a bunch of stuff that was there, and horrible Randy Orton shit from Alexa Bliss stuff.
Okay. Let's bring it back to Andrade here. Couple things. Let's start with the best one. Rebs Leading Observer on Twitter said Andrade's WWE release doesn't include a non-compete clause.
Oh.
Fuck!
Snap.
Holy shit. This is the smartest fucking thing for WWE. The smartest fucking thing. Yeah, he's depressed right now, right? But his fiance is still within the company, right? You keep both of them happy. You let him do his thing for 4 or 5 years. He returns as former IWGP champion, AEW champion, Impact champion, Ring of Honor champion. You let him go and grab the fucking gold from somewhere else. And you bring him back, and maybe at that point is when he's like, "Cool, I'll put over some of your guys." He'll still put on killer matches.
And maybe at that point, Vince McMahon won't be around and running the company anymore. So
maybe
the company will be run by something that knows what they're doing.
Like I said, this was Fastlane, and I scrolled down a little bit, and I'm like, "Holy shit! Like, that's enormous news." Now, let's get Aleister Black on that train. Bring me back Tommy End.
Yes. We need our satanic kickboxer.
Yeah, but staying on Andrade just for a second, I want to bring up, he said thanks to Triple H, Heyman, and William Regal. He said thank you for the support, for the fans. A big hug to the talent and the workers who always behave kindly to him. Basically what he says is thank you for believing in me and fuck the main event roster or the main event people or the main roster people. Like,
yep.
He's definitely coming back if Vince passes.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially if Triple H is indeed in charge. And then maybe Triple H will be allowed to let leg slaps happen again.
I mean, maybe not as much as AEW because before I was that person where I would never notice a naked slap, or I wouldn't even look for it, right?
Yeah.
It's so fucking in your face now. It's like they put the camera on that, like they like for some reason, like that's all I zoom into is the leg slap.
It doesn't help that you get a Young Buck match and it's like 90% super kicks and therefore 90% leg slaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, we could get off Andrade again.
Apparently Yo returned to the New Japan Cup Finals. Why? I haven't seen this.
I haven't seen that. I like the one in Japan or the US one?
That's what I'm looking at right now. Yeah, I think it's the one in Japan.
Really? Yeah. Was that today?
It was a couple of days ago. It was on the Observer site. Yeah, on the 20th, so it would have been Saturday. This is announced. I don't know how I missed this. Apparently, he made a challenge for Pongi 3K against El Desperado and Kanemura for Sakura Genesis.
All right, let's go back to Charlotte. I found something else.
Ooh.
Meltzer said that the WrestleMania situation, that she's doing a movie, but they are avoiding him. That he believes there's something more than just the movie to this. We could go back to the baby, the pregnancy, or this could have been her like being like, you need to release Andrade or I ain't doing shit for you.
Yeah.
And then they probably gave her like, they probably gave her the thing of like, if we release him, like, we're not going to put you on WrestleMania or some shit, which I've read and it sounds stupid as fuck, but yeah. I could see WWE being that petty, even to their biggest star.
Yep.
You know, but whatever. Yeah, this women's division is nuts. Like, you got two pregnancies and then this thing going on with Charlotte.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
Nia Jax still allowed to wrestle. You know, we're all kinds of bad things.
Yeah. Do we have anything else? I'm trying to look through some of the things here.
Yeah, I'm just double checking myself.
Oh, let me bring up the New Japan Cup bracket.
That was the thing I'd want to look up.
Yeah. So this New Japan Cup, I haven't watched anything of it, but I've been following the bracket. Where is it? I'm gonna bring up the cup itself. It was very tamed for the first two rounds. There wasn't really anything big, you know? Yeah. There was no like bracket buster. It started off with Hiroshi and Evil, they both got first round byes, right?
Okay.
Whatever. Cog went up over Kojima. Naito lost to Okan. Everybody was talking about an injury towards Naito, so it makes sense for him to take it easier. Yano went over Fale. Yano always does really good at this.
Yeah.
He does good at the cup and the G1. You know, so for him to not get past the first doesn't make sense. Plus, it was Valet. Like, come on. That's easy. Goto versus Tai Chi was my only match where I feel like could have gone either way. Yeah. And to be honest, when Goto went over, I was more surprised. I'm all like, I thought, because they've been doing a lot with Tai Chi. Like, yeah, he's been doing the I'm blanking on my thought here. I blanked. I'm sorry. Let's move on. Okada versus Takagi. This was when I did my bracket. This is one of the matches where I'm like, fuck, this could go either way. I did choose Takagi, Especially, and I felt great. I think it was like the day before where they announced that he's wrestling with an injury. So yeah. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. Like, I feel like that's going to help me. And yeah, Okada out in the first round against Shingo makes perfect sense. Omna versus Suzuki. Suzuki's still a fucking G. He goes over Juice Robinson's over Kenta. I chose Kenta. I felt like Juice kind of got stuck in the wrong position. I would have wished they chose like either who could have they switched over? I don't know. I feel like Juice and Kenta both deserve to be in the second round, but not everybody gets that choice. Kenta won. He made it into he made it farther into the thing. And then second round on that side, it was Cobb versus Evil. Cobb recently signed that contract like less than a year ago.
Yeah.
So I didn't really think this was going to be Cobb's New Japan Cup, where a lot of these guys get that one in their early into their contract. Plus Evil has been straight fire ever since. And then it was Khan versus Yano. I think that was like the only reason Okan should have beat Naito was because of that injury story. And then he should have just lost right away, which is what happened against Yano.
Yep.
Goto versus Takagi. Like I said, the last match, it was so up in the air. This one was so easy. Freaking Shingo.
Oh, yeah.
Suzuki versus Kenta. Pretty much you have Murder Grandpa versus former Murder Godchild, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if Kenta, like, brings back that intensity of the strong style, of the strong hits, and continuously, he could become the next Suzuki, you know?
If he stops wrestling like WWE guy that came back to New Japan.
Yes, and he's slowly getting there, you know? Yeah. Eventually, I feel like we're going to get old Kenta back, the ones that we love seeing in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
You know, like when we were on YouTube watching his videos, like that's what it was.
Yeah.
So then it was Evil against Yano. Yano has no reason to win that unless it's typical Yano shenanigans.
Luckily, sure Evil should be able to look at Yano and beat him.
Yeah, exactly. And he did. He beat Yano, so that would make sense. Shingo against Kenta. This is where it got kind of tricky, where I felt like this could have been some Beastie Bullet Club shenanigans to beat Shingo. But no, he beat Kenta, and it made perfect sense.
Yeah, exactly. You want that Evil Shingo matchup in the semifinals. That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you have Shingo Takagi, LIJ versus former LIJ, now BC Evil. And Shingo won. And that was pretty big, you know. I didn't think they would give him a final. Until you saw the results of the other side.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through the same thing over, but Ospreay beat Tenzin, Sabre beat Kid, Nagata beat Yuji, Ishii beat Sonata beat Ishii, Finley beat Owens, makes sense. Yoshihashi beat Takahashi, also makes sense.
Yep.
Toa lost to White, makes that sense.
So much sense.
And then Hiroshi had the bye. Second round, Ospreay went over Zack Sabre. That was my like, hell, this could also break my bracket.
Yeah.
But like, I'm like, Will Ospreay has to go on this one, right? I feel like he is the non-Japanese future of New Japan, especially out there, right?
Definitely.
So Will Ospreay beat Zack Sabre. Sonata beat Nagata.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It's Sonata, you know? Sonata does amazing at these type of things.
Yeah.
Finley over Yoshihashi. So this is where mine kind of like, I felt Yoshihashi was going to win this. I did have Finley going over in the first round, not the second round. This is where the bracket for me.
Spoiler just alert, you definitely couldn't have predicted the next round.
Yeah, like this shit fucked me up, okay? Finley beat Yoshihashi. Jay White beat Hiromu.
Takahashi.
Oh, not Takahashi. Yeah, that's right. He beat him. That made sense, I guess. This goes back to their match where Jay White lost the title to him.
Yeah.
That goes that's where that goes back to. Following round, Will Ospreay beats Sanada. Okay, it makes sense, right? Yeah. You have Shingo on the other side. You have Ospreay moving. At this point, you're thinking this is Best of the Super Juniors Part 2.
Yeah, right? Pretty much.
Both of these guys were in the Best of Super Juniors 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was that these two contestants were like more Shingo than Ospreay, but it was one of those like these guys are too big to be Super Juniors.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But they fucking move. You know, they made it perfectly. Like if this was an X Division tournament,
yeah,
like that would have been great. Anyways, Will Ospreay beat Sanada?
And then the next match of the round,
David Finley beat Jay White.
I'm not even knocking David Finley because I like the guy. But wow, who saw this coming?
Yeah, that's the thing. What the fuck? Like David Finley beat Jay White.
This is like Vince Russo mentality. Bro, they're going to think that Jay White's going to beat Finley. They'll never expect Finley to win, bro. You got to have Finley win, bro. And put him on a pole, bro. Okay, he didn't do that part.
No, but yeah, he won. He definitely won. But that's where his luck runs out. He runs into Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay wins it, and the world is back in order. So we have Shingo versus Will Ospreay.
No matter who wins this match, I say the winners are us. Those of
yes,
us watch it.
Definitely. The winners of this tournament are the fucking fans, right? Because we have Best of the Super Juniors Part 2 in the finals. Again, Shingo versus Ospreay. Their match back then, amazing. I haven't seen this one yet. I'm waiting for it. Oh, you're right. I see that you'll return. I'm super excited. And Will Ospreay beats Shingo again.
Yep.
Again. Great choice. Eventually, I would love to see Shingo sitting next to that trophy, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that image of... Shibata sitting next to the trophy.
Yeah.
You replace him with Shingo, same image, same power. It will look amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But Will Ospreay won. You could have gone either way with both these guys. And I'm honestly excited to, even with the results, I know the results, I'm excited to watch this. That was it. That was a New Japan Cup.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and definitely watch the main event. I got to go back and at least cherry pick some of the matches I want to watch / not watch anything with Great Okan cough.
Mm-hmm.
Or the okay con, as I like to call them.
I'm reading about Yo coming back. He's coming back April 4th.
Yeah, for Sakura Genesis.
And he put out the challenge for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. Yep. Honestly, I feel like they need to lose this match and move on to the heavyweights.
Yeah.
Need to move on to the heavyweights. If they're going to separate Sho and Yo eventually, they need to move on to the heavyweights. Let them get like 2-3 title runs in the next couple of years. And then break them up.
Yeah.
You know, I know Yo is more about the team, but Sho is definitely also about the team, but you could totally tell he wants to do his own thing, you know? When they're in the Super Junior Cups or in the Best of Juniors or whatever, the other one, it was always Sho that changed his image just for the tournament, you know?
Yeah.
While Yo continued the Roppongi 3K theme, he continued doing his Roppongi thing. I don't think it's time to split them up yet, eventually, but I do want to see them up there with the heavyweights. I feel like they could take GOD to a fucking amazing match.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Let's hope that GOD can actually have that amazing match without pulling every sports entertainment thing
ever. Yeah.
I still haven't forgiven them for that match against ZSJ and Taichi. Could have been such a good match, and it turned into such a bullshit finish.
It's funny, the tournaments for New Japan USA, it's always the same guys. They need to like build that roster.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be depending on TJP to carry your shit.
Use filthy Tom Lawler more, that's all.
I mean, they have MLW. Like, yep. I'm surprised Mil Muertes is in MLW. Like, no shit, not talking shit to MLW, but like, this guy is pretty freaking huge in wrestling. But he wanted to be in AEW. I don't know if you ever followed his social media, but he was always hitting up AEW, like tagging them and stuff, tagging the wrestlers about potentially showing up, and it didn't happen. So I don't know if he was waiting out until they responded and they never did, or if MLW just gave him that contract that he wanted.
Yeah. Okay. So if you have for obviously the New Japan Cup USA hasn't started yet, but for the we've got six of the competitors decided so far. We got, as I mentioned, Filthy Tom Lawler, Leo Rush, Fred Rosser, the former Darren Young, a returning Hikuleo, Brody King, and Ren Narita have all qualified. We've got, and then on this Friday's show, Chris Dickinson will wrestle Blake Christian with the winner getting into the tournament, and then Clark Connors wrestles TJP. And God, I hope Clark Connors wins, just because TJP is no bueno for me unless he's a dickbag heel.
I don't dislike TJP, but a lot of the times when he wrestles, it's a lot of eye rolling for me.
Yeah. I'm plus like, Clark Connors is pretty badass. So I'd
like he to is, see him get in there. Yeah. That Young Lion group is pretty good.
Yeah. Still, it's a there's some pretty decent talent in that USA Cup. So that starts on April 2nd. So I'll have to keep my eyes out on that. Okay, it is going to be on the Strong Show on Fridays. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, so that makes sense.
Apparently, Steph said there is no direct successor when Vince steps down.
Well, it's like everything else WWE does. They don't have that planned out.
I don't think Shane should be part of this. First of all, she's saying steps down. I don't think Homeboy's gonna step down. First of all, he's gonna die in his office with a pen in his hand.
And he's probably gonna somehow run the company for at least 3 months out or 3 months or so after he's dead.
Yeah, because he probably has like an envelope like hidden away that is like do not open until death. And yeah. It's going to be like, he's going to have this like thing where like they have to legally do it for like 2-3 years where they have to follow this script, you know, and it's going to be a bunch of the dumbest things ever. I feel it.
Or even worse than a script, a note saying, do whatever Bruce Pritchard says.
Mm. That would suck.
Yeah. We also forgot the biggest news of all, by the way. Looks like we, because I mentioned this before we started recording, we're getting Miz versus Bad Bunny at WrestleMania. The challenge has been made. Get hype.
I mean, I think I said it. This could either be a very horrible match, which it could lean to, or, you know, Priest is going to come in here and shake shit up. I'm kind of hoping with this whole pre-recorded crap, like, they just give Bad Bunny, like, the cinematic treatment where, like, he does a lot of, like, action shots. It doesn't have to look like a legit, like, wrestling match, you know?
I hope they send him to train with Rip Rogers and that he comes in at least half as good as Pat McAfee did.
I mean, he's been with the company for a bit, so he could have learned a thing or two from some of the guys on the main roster. And he is he is a legit fan, you know?
Exactly.
A lot of people give this guy shit, like, oh, he's a Latin star, whatever. But he's a Latin star that actually gives a shit about wrestling. He enjoys wrestling, you know? He's just not one of those... those big stars that come in to get their name out. If anything, this kind of helped WWE more than it helped him, you know?
Definitely.
It helped him personally. He probably like, fuck yeah, I'm a ex-WWE champion of sorts. You know, he's held the title. He's pinned somebody. He's going to get pinned. Like, he gets to wrestle on a pay-per-view. Jesus. It can't get that bad.
And at the end of the day, there's no way he or any other celebrity they bring in could possibly have been worse than Mongo McMichael was. And they made Mongo a full-time wrestler.
Yeah. This guy is going to end up in the WWE Hall of Fame sooner than later. And it's going to be... It's not going to be one of those dumb ones where, like, this guy doesn't deserve to be in it. He's going to be higher on the list above those people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're like, okay, I could see it. He did some work in there. He's just not somebody that announced something or, like, showed up for TV once.
Yeah.
You know?
He definitely belongs in there more than, say, Drew Carey.
Yeah, see, stuff like that. Like, there's some guys that, like, no. I get you want to get big names in there that are not wrestlers, but don't taint your freaking Hall of Fame. You know, a lot of the wrestlers don't even. I mean, a lot of the fans don't even follow the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know. We got to close up soon. We got anything else?
The only other thing I could think of is we just mentioned the Hall of Fame because it's just where we randomly look something up. When I get to be this is why I can say that I can't trust the WWE Hall of Fame at all. Drew Carey is in it, but Regis Philbin, a celebrity who had the legit love of wrestling and actually really helped, not really promote, like in promoting a like doing help promote it on the radio back during Freddie Blassie's era, is not in the Hall of Fame. Fuck that.
Yeah, but it just shows that it's not just a certain people in the WWE that are weird as hell. It's the whole company that is just batshit insane.
Professional wrestling, so much drugs.
Pretty much.
That's all I can't think of anything else though. End on that high note.
Yeah, give me a second. Let me see if we could find anything. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, let's just run down who have they announced so far.
Oh, right, it's kind of a hybrid Hall of Fame because we got the last year's class that weren't inducted, and then we've got the new names this year. So.
Yeah, they pushed back Batista because apparently they want to wait for him to be in a live crowd. I'm like.
Yeah.
I know he's a huge name, but I feel like he's going to get a huge reaction no matter what. but I guess they just want to give them the fan base for it.
Yeah, pretty much. So from last year, we've got JBL bullying his way into the Hall of Fame, as I like to imagine it. Mm-hmm. The British Bulldog, well overlooked, you know, for years. That guy should have been probably been there in a long time. Just even honestly, I think it probably should have been the British Bulldogs together. But I can understand the WWE not wanting to honor Tom Billington. And then famous WWE luminary Jushin Thunder Liger, who wrestled one whole match ever under the WWE umbrella, and it was for NXT. But he did do some great work for WCW, who were owned by WWE now.
Yeah, I kind of hope he actually shows up.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
And we've got the New World Order all getting their vanity second inductions. I think all of them are in either as individuals, or X-Pac is already in under DX, but it's Hogan, Hall, Nash, and Waltman going in.
As NWO?
Yep.
Okay.
And then wait for it. We've got the best wrestlers ever going in, the Bella Twins.
Yeah, baby.
And then for this year, we've got Molly Holly going in.
And yes.
Eric Bischoff was recently announced as well.
Okay.
It's kind of funny that he's being announced separate from the NWO guys.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, you can't induct the guy twice in one year. And yeah. I guess they didn't want to like push back NWO. They got to get Hogan in there too, I guess.
Well, not only is Hogan going to be, oh God, I don't know if you heard of this. Not only is Hogan going to be in the Hall of Fame, he's going to be hosting WrestleMania with Titus O'Neil.
I saw that and I don't know if they're just.
That's a rib, right?
That's got to be something. Like, I don't think like they like, oh, let's get Hogan and Titus and it's going to be a great pair. I mean, it might be. But this has to be like, we need to fix this image of racist Hulk.
Yeah, let's put him with the guy who's been a great brand ambassador for racial unity. Even though, if I'm not mistaken, Titus is one of the ones that was outspoken about not thinking Hogan did a good job apologizing.
I mean, he hasn't said anything yet since then.
Let me tell you something, brother. Hulk, you said brother, right?
It's a thing and we got to live with it. WrestleMania's coming up. That's going to be your last prediction game with the Patreon.
We got to regroup and figure things out afterwards. So
yeah, if you're a Patreon member, and we're going to cancel it for a bit. We're going to restart. We're going to get our heads together and rethink of how we want to do it. Doesn't mean we're going to stop the predictions game. It's just there's not going to be prizes. Or maybe there will be, maybe for one of the big four if we don't if we don't return by what's up to WrestleMania? SummerSlam?
SummerSlam, yeah.
SummerSlam. If we don't return by SummerSlam, we'll probably give SummerSlam up.
I'll pitch in some money for a prize if we don't return by
SummerSlam. I mean, we got the Kayfabe Soup bank account that we have millions and millions of dollars that we could probably touch. We don't know.
It just means one less night out of doing Coke.
Don't forget the hookers.
We're not going to cut into the Kayfabe Soup bank account though.
But yeah, so that's the future for Kayfabe Soup for a little bit.
See that? We just saved you guys some money.
Yeah, podcasts are going to happen when they happen. I'm kind of hoping we could go back to, I'm hoping at least twice a month, every other week. If we could go every week, that'd be amazing. It's just us three getting together, and that means Hayes as well, getting together on a proper night and see if we could do it, you know?
Finding time that works with all of our schedules.
Exactly. Living in three different time zones is a pain in the ass.
Yep.
Total pain in the ass, but we're going to try to make it work.
Then you just don't show up.
Exactly, right? Yeah, no running from Hayes. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Cool. Top guys out. Oh shit, that's not right.